Get the wall back in here. Where my deacon's at? Brother Hall, you and White can get the wall back in. That would be a blessing. And the rest of us take our Bibles, go to Nehemiah chapter number 4, and we're going to read verse 6. If you could, brother, just put the communion table over there. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're going to put another piece on the wall tonight and build it up. Amen. We talked about the great need. Amen. All right. Brother Gary, can you open the door? Somebody's out there knocking. Not to get in. Who is that? Brother Joe's already on it. Amen. Bringing the wall back in. Amen. By the way, we had to give the wall some attention. Amen. The strong men, man, they were vying to pull that thing apart last week. Amen. So we had to shore it up some. And so Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to read verse 6. And continuing with the thought and the theme of your pastor and your work and your pastor and your pastor and your welfare. Amen. We've already covered your pastor and your welfare. Now we're on your pastor and your work. We've covered the big three already, which was communication, coordination, and cooperation. And the ministries need to be, we said, carried out with those big three, but then they're conducted with the big six. And we started with those last week. So Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. Everybody there say amen. Amen. Any omies? All right. Well, let's read verse 6 all together. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Amen. We looked at that last week, and we talked about the first thing we had to get past was the focus of others. And sometimes we had to focus on our own part of the wall. But then other times we had to change our focus and focus on someone else to help them to regain their focus, because their part of the wall is really much depending upon our portion of the wall, because the wall has got to be built up and joined together. And every ministry here, we've got to focus on our own ministry, but also be concerned about other ministries that are around us. And so certain times we focus, but in other times we shift focus to help someone else, to bring them back on focus to get the wall built. And we talked about the first thing that was necessary in focusing and why we need focus was spirituality. Amen. If we're going to be anything in building, we've got to be spiritual about it. Amen. And we'll discuss that a little bit. Finish that one and then go into the next big six. Father, thank you now for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you again for the testimonies and the praises that we heard earlier. And Lord, help us now as we look at building this wall. Lord, there's work that you have us to do. And you said the people had a mind to work. Lord, I am convinced that Shining Light Baptist Church members have a mind to work. And Lord, now we need to do that work together, and we need to do that work for the glory of God. So help us tonight as we look at another piece of this puzzle that we're putting together. And Lord, I pray that it will be used to glory, your glory and your honor. If there's an area in our lives that we need to shore up, help us to shore that area up, Lord, and make sure that it is fit and meet for the master's use. Lord, help us to work together as a cohesive unit with our communication, our coordination, and cooperation being together as we do the work of God. Speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So far, looking at this wall down here that we've built, we found out that it took some communication and some cooperation to do it. And once that was done, we put it all together, and we said that, you know, it's going to be carried out with that communication, our coordination, cooperation. That's how we build. Amen. By the way, at your job, whether you know it or not, it requires communication, coordination, and cooperation to get your job done at your job. I don't care if you're a one deep slot or if you've got five deep or if you got 50. Amen. If you don't communicate, cooperate, and coordinate with others, it's going to be a mess on your hands. Amen. And in the church, it's no different. God has given the pastor to make sure that things operate smoothly in the house of God. And he's given the pastor ministers. Amen. Ephesians 4:12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so we began looking at that, and we left off with spirituality. We said that everybody that wants to be in ministry or that is looking to be a minister should have these six qualities evident in their life and being improved upon on a weekly and a regular basis. Why? That's the same reason why Andrea's sister went up to get interviewed. They are wanting to get the best of the best. They don't want just anybody, amen. So they interview you to see what's going on in your life. What are you made of? What's your criteria? What's your background? And so if you don't meet the criteria, guess what? They're not going to hire you, amen. And so it is in ministry. We shouldn't have to put up with less than spiritual people because we don't need to, amen. And so if folks are going to be spiritual, then we want to say, hey, look, we want to pick from the spiritual, amen. We want to get someone that's going to do right by God. We want to get someone that's going to do things spiritually speaking. And so we left off with Matthew 22. So let's go back to Matthew 22. And when you're looking at this building process, amen, we mentioned that this area of spirituality is the baseline or it's fundamental. I said it's Christianity 100. And Serge said that's even below 101. Amen. And so we want to make sure that it's as fundamentally sound as possible. And we left off with spirituality is depicted with two things. One was a love for God. Notice verse number 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So we said that, first of all, the ministry's got to be conducted with some spiritual people or spirituality. And we said it's characterized by, number one, a love for God, which we see here, which is shown by our Bible study and our prayer life, knowing him and showing him to others. But then the second thing is known for is our love for others. Notice what it says down there. It says, and the second, verse 39, is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How many of y'all love yourself? I hope you all do love yourself. Not in a bad way, but in a good way because God created you and made you that way, amen. Not in a prideful way, not in a stuck up way, amen. But because God made a great creation. He said, I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works and that my soul knoweth right well. Amen. So we are made in that way. And so he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the second part of my spirituality is going to be shown by not just my love for God, but by love for others. Do I really love people? You say, preacher, I don't even like people. Well, I'm sure there's someone out there that has that same sentiment for you as well. Amen. But if we're going to be God's people, now, by the way, why should we love people? Give me just one fundamental, basic reason why we should love people. Rose? God is love, Carmen. God first loved us. Those are good. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Julianne. God loved us. We should love others. Jeremiah? What was that? Fulfills all commandments. Amen, Rodney? God said, love thy neighbor. So if we had this idea, well, I don't even like people, you need to go back to the Bible and say, did I really get saved? Because God's love should have been deposited in you. Now, you may not like what people do. Now, I don't like a lot of things people do. But guess what? I'm still commanded to love them. God doesn't like a lot of things I do. He doesn't like a lot of things you do. So if he had the same attitude that we have, guess what? We'd all be obliterated. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? And aren't you glad for God's forgiveness? Amen. And God's love. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. And so the second part of my spirituality is going to be a love for others. Amen. And Romans 13:8. Somebody mentioned that one. So let's go over there quickly. Romans 13:8. And in Romans chapter 13, notice what he says in verse number 8. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Why? For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What did God say? Love thy neighbor. Amen. So he said, if you love others, amen, you have successfully fulfilled the law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And so my love for others is going to be shown, first of all, by my handling people and their problems spiritually. Why? Because if spiritually speaking, I have a love for God, that love for me should help me to love others and to handle them spiritually. Now, all of us have the capability of getting carnal and getting in the flesh and getting angry and getting upset and handling things unspiritually. That normally doesn't work. So then they that are in the flesh, what? Cannot please God. God says, if you're going to please me, then you need to be in the spirit and you need to have a love for me. And if you have a love for me, it will give you a love for people. And because of that, you'll handle people and their problems spiritually. By the way, every good minister that's in the house of God needs to have a good love for people and handle people and their problems spiritually. There's not one of us in here that doesn't have problems. Every last one of us got problems. And you want somebody to handle you spiritually, so you need to handle somebody else spiritually. How dare we handle things carnally and in the flesh? Folks, that is going to go against everything that we're standing for. So if I've got good communication and good coordination and good cooperation, but spiritually speaking, I'm in the flesh, guess what? It's still going to fall apart. The wheels of that wagon are going to come right off. Amen. I'm going to go nowhere. Why? Because everything that I do in the flesh gives God no glory at all. God is glorified when things are done in the spirit, and he gets the glory when it's done by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen. So love for others is going to be shown through us in our handling of people and their problems and their situations. It's going to cause us to be understanding, long-suffering, and meek, and problem-solving and not problematic. Can I get an amen? Because we can help some people out, and the situation can get a whole lot worse because of our input and because of our counsel and by what we said or what we did or how we said it or when we said it or why we said it, what was our motive. We can make things a whole lot worse. And so we've got to be oh so careful to be in the spirit, because in the flesh you will ruin this thing. Amen. And so it's going to be shown by handling people's problems and their situations biblically and seeing people in the way that God sees them. How does God see people? He sees them in two ways. Saved or unsaved. God looks down on humanity and sees all the people either saved or lost. And so I've got to see that God loved me, and I've got to have a love for God, but I also have to have a love for others, handle their problems as a person, handle their situations, and see that they need Jesus. By the way, what does Matthew 28 say? Go ye what? Therefore, and do what? Teach all nations. Who did he give that to? The apostles, which is what? The church. And what did he say? Baptizing them, what? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then what did he say? Teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So if God had loved us, he says, I want you to have a love for others, help them with their problems, help them in their situation, but give them most of all the teaching of me. That they need to be saved, and then get them saved, baptize them, teach them, amen. And guess what? A lot of the problems will begin to get solved. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? That's basic spirituality. By the way, God saved every last one of us, not to go to heaven, but to get somebody else saved. Hey, if the goal was to get us to heaven, he'd have took us right away, wouldn't he? Why leave us down here? And why leave us down here with the Holy Spirit? And why leave us here with a mark on us? And why leave us down here as Christ ones or disciples? Why not just take us right to heaven so that somebody else can get saved? If that were not the case, what's our use here? Take up space? No, he wants other people to get saved by your witness. That's why he told those 12, go ye therefore. He said, look, I'm giving the charge to you 12. I want you to go everywhere. By the way, because they did their job, we have the gospel. Because Paul went to Europe, guess what? We have the gospel. So the basic spirituality has got to be demonstrated by you and I having a love for people. Now, you may never win a soul to Christ, but you should be involved in planting some seeds. You should be involved in sowing some seeds. You should be involved in knocking on some doors. You should be involved in handing out some gospel tracts. You should be inviting people out. You may never see a soul personally come to the Lord. Oh, who's that missionary? Hudson Taylor that was over there in China, didn't see a convert for all those many, many years. So don't give up just because you haven't seen a soul come to Christ. Well, I might as well go home. Amen. Nobody ever gets saved when I witness. Amen. No. Keep going. Keep doing. So spirituality, first of all, is shown by those two basic things. And that is the first thing that we want to put under communication, coordination, and cooperation, because our ministry has got to be conducted with spirituality. We've got to have spiritual people that love God and have a love for others. By the way, people can tell when you love them or not. You can fake it for a while, amen? But the truth eventually goes out. Truth eventually comes out. Hey, have the love of God. And by the way, if God loves you, you have the starting point. Did he forgive you? Forgave you all? Does he forgive you every time you come to him? Then why do we treat people any different? If a person is wanting to be forgiven, forgive them. If they don't want to be forgiven, forgive them in your heart anyway. Now, they can't hardly have true forgiveness until they get right. But they can have forgiveness as far as you're concerned. And so when it comes to this, I've got to have a love for God and a love for others. Amen. Pastor White, why don't you come up here? You and Brother Hall. Because next in line, we're going to talk about this one here. Again, spirituality is one thing that the ministry has got to be conducted with. And so the next one is going to be loyalty. And this is part of the big six, amen. And Pastor White, I want you to take this one and probably put it right here. That should be good, yeah, right there. But I want you to do it now. You got to tell somebody to do it, amen. Get you a helper up here, and you and Brother Hall work with somebody to get them up there to put that on there, amen. Now, again, what are we representing here? We're representing leadership working together. I'm communicating to Pastor White what I want to see done. Pastor White now has got to make sure that it gets done by getting someone to help him. That's how the wall gets built. That's how the spiritual things happen in the church. Amen. God gives the pastor a plan. The pastor gives it to his leadership, and the leadership begins to carry it out by getting other people involved. What is it? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so loyalty. Go over to Hebrews 13 and verse 17. If you're already in Romans, just go to your right there. Hebrews 13 and verse number 17. And the next thing that we're going to look at is loyalty. Now, most of the time we're going to spend is going to be in the Old Testament. Hebrews 13 and verse number 17. And notice what it says in verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Let me ask you a question here. Can you obey somebody without being loyal to them? Yes. Can you obey somebody without submitting to them?
Yes.
Yes, you can be a rebel in your heart. But guess what? You won't get nay blessing from God. Amen? And so now, as the pastor... their plans. Again, the goal was to build the wall. What's our goal here? To glorify God by edifying the saints and getting people saved. Amen. And so when you look at glorifying God by building the wall, that was their goal. Our goal is to build lives for the glory of God by soul winning, baptizing, and teaching. Amen. Here's the definition for loyalty. It means steadfast in allegiance. It means faithful to a person, ideal, duty, or custom. Give that again. Loyalty means steadfast in allegiance or faithful to a person, ideal, duty, or custom. Is there anything wrong with being loyal to a person? How many wives want your husband to be loyal to you? Raise your hand. Husbands, how many of you want your wives to be loyal to you? Raise your hand. Nobody wants disloyalty? You're kidding me. Everybody wants their husbands to be loyal to them. How many of y'all want God to be loyal to you? You want to be steadfast, amen, faithful to you, amen. All right, you put your hand down. So we want our spouses to be loyal to us. We want God to be loyal to us. But then when we come to the church, we have a hard time being loyal to the pastor or his leadership. Why is that a problem in church oftentimes? Why is that a problem? Give me some feedback. Why is it tough in church to be loyal to the pastor? Oh, my mic went out. Oh, that's why you turned this one on, brother. I didn't know I was out. Amen. Out of gas. Amen. All right. What did I hear? Yes, Derek.
People have different points of view. Okay, amen. Why is it hard to be loyal to the pastor, Brother Jeff? Pride sometimes, amen. I think I know better than the preacher, Jeremiah. People don't like what? They don't like when they're convicted, when their toes get stepped on, amen. By the way, preacher is not an investigative private eye. He doesn't know your sin. So if they're mentioned up here, you got to take that up with God, amen, because I don't know what y'all do. I don't send my pastors out and my deacons out to be snoops. We don't work that way, amen. If God can't find it out, amen, it don't need to be found out, amen. It's on already, amen. All right, why else? Why is it tough to transfer the same loyalty that we expect God to have to us and the same loyalty we expect our spouses to have? Why is it hard to transfer that to the pastor oftentimes? Carmen? Amen. We don't pray for him enough. And when we do pray, we trust that God is leading. Amen, Katie? Or sirs, we had a hand up over here. Amen. So it goes right back to what Brother Wilbur says, the braces pride issue. Amen. Folks say, well, you put your pants on one leg at a time like me. Yeah, but as I'm putting mine on, God has called me to do something. And by the way, they did the same thing to Moses. Oh, you make yourself better than us. You know, the Korahites, they got swallowed up last time I checked. We're all God's people. We're all spiritual, Moses. Yeah, but you ain't been called and you didn't get a rod. I have one, amen. And those things are good, amen. I listed a couple of reasons why it's sometimes tough for us to trust the pastor and be loyal to him. Sometimes we get hurt in the past at another ministry. And so it was the man who did it up here. And so I it's hard to separate that last man from the current man because they both are the pastor. And so I've been hurt. Sometimes it's a fear. I fear that he's going to lead me astray. Sometimes it's a betrayal. This last pastor betrayed me, or I've been betrayed before by men, or I've been betrayed in my marriage, and so I'm not going to trust any man. Amen. There's so many other reasons here, and I'm not going to list them all, but there's some of the reasons why it's hard to be loyal are listed there. But then we forget this. We forget that the same loyalty that I have to my spouse or that I want God to have to me, it's because I value my spouse, or I see my spouse as unique. Or I see my spouse or my God as precious. And as a result of my God being precious or my spouse being precious and I value them and they're unique, I'm loyal to them because now there's something there. But let me tell you something. The minute you lose the preciousness of your wife or your husband, when the minute you lose the value of your husband or your wife is the minute you're going to start going out and being infatuated with someone else. And you're going to go out after someone else. And it's the same way with the pastor. When you begin to decrease the value of who God has called and begin to see other things or bring other hurts in, the value goes down and you wander and you look for something else. Or you don't give the loyalty that it requires. I'm infatuated by something else or attracted or drawn away by other things. And we often forget that the pastor is a gift to the church. Ephesians 4, 8, 11, and 12 reads like this. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He said, these are gifts that he gave. Notice this. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But I'm afraid like Christmas, oftentimes you don't like the gift you get, and so you give it away at a white elephant party. Or you want to take it back to the store. But did it ever occur to you, like Ms. Dawson say, if you pray, it changes things? I had no problems following my pastor in Belgium. You know why? I prayed for him. I prayed for him diligently. I would follow him just about anywhere according to the will of God. Why? I prayed for him. I didn't have a problem with that. I was loyal to him. It was one time when I wasn't. I realized it wasn't him. It was Brother Dunn. We weren't loyal to, we weren't loyal to the choir. Amen. That's what it was. Amen. And that was only one time that we actually got out of sorts with somebody in that fashion. Didn't want to follow leadership. But loyalty is required, and we forget to thank God for our precious spouse. And so when we do that, disloyalty can creep in. Tonight, over the next several minutes, we're going to look at a character in the Bible that demonstrated loyalty, a character that many of you know. And if you look at it from the outside, you think, what in the world is he doing? Now, from our perspective and our vantage point, it makes perfect sense. But if you put yourself in his place and his time, it didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, I remember Jonathan. Amen. Jonathan was loyal to King Saul as his father. But he was also loyal to David, who was the future king. Did his loyalty to his father as the king diminish his loyalty to David as the future king? No. He understood and he knew that, David, you're the future king. Right now, my dad's the king. He's not being a good one, but my dad's the king. But not only is my dad the king, I'm his son. And nothing's going to stop me from being his son. That's going to stop him from being my king. But I know there's coming a day, David, when you're going to be king. And he was loyal to David just as much as he was loyal to King Saul. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. Jonathan was still obedient, submissive, as a submissive soldier for Saul. He was obedient in everything that he was supposed to do. He was loyal to David as well. And it did not diminish his role. His loyalty did not interfere with his relationship with his dad as king. By the way, in your church, in our church, where you are a member at, you should be loyal to your pastor. How many say amen on that? But not only should you be loyal to your pastor in the church, you should be loyal to your pastor outside the church. Just because you're in the church, you don't put on a facade and speak good platitudes and pleasantries about me, but then you go out and have me for dinner, lunch, and a snack at night, too. At your coworkers, you don't talk bad about your pastor. You're supposed to uphold that in church and out of church. Let me change the context. The same way you would be loyal to your spouse at home, you should be loyal to your spouse in church, too. Now, does the loyalty at home diminish your loyalty in the church? Does the loyalty at home and the loyalty in the church interfere with your loyalty to the pastor? No, it doesn't. Not at all. Your children should be obedient at home, should they not? But they should be just as obedient in the home as they are in the church. Amen. Now, does the loyalty to you in the home and in the church diminish their loyalty to their pastor? By the way, this is what we think sometimes. We think that we take off one hat to put another one on. Wives are submissive at home, but when they come to church, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm listening to the pastor. I'm listening to the choir director. I'm listening to whoever's my minister. No, no. You don't take off one hat and put on another. You're still just as submissive like you were at home as you are in the church. Or maybe your true colors are showing out, and maybe that's how you are submissive at home. Y'all with me? And what am I doing? I'm trying to make a point that loyalty does not stop when you move someplace else and when you're not in the church house. Loyalty follows you wherever if you have loyalty to a person. And so the same way you would be loyal at home, you should be loyal at church. Amen. And we should be loyal to God, church, and family wherever we go. Let me show you several pictures of Jonathan and his loyalty. The first one, if you're in 1 Samuel chapter 18, is going to be Jonathan's loyalty is demonstrated in love by actions. His loyalty is demonstrated in love by actions. Of course, this is their friendship. David kills the giant there in chapter 17. Goliath goes down. King Saul inquires about him in verse number 58 of chapter 17. And notice verse number 1 in 18. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Notice this. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. What did it say over there? And Matthew, love thy neighbor as who? As yourself. Jonathan here now is demonstrating love. He's practicing love by his action. He's saying, you know what? I'm going to love you just like you was me. Praise God. Now, who's still the king at this time? Saul is still the king.
but it did not diminish him from loving the future king. Y'all with me? All right. Notice this, verse number 3. Because Saul took him in verse number 2. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. He was signifying to him that I'm going to be loyal to you. I'm going to be committed to you. I'm going to serve you as the Lord's anointed. Now, I know my daddy's the king right now. But you know what? God has given me such a heart for you and such a passion for you and your leadership. I know you're going to be the future king and I'm going to be loyal to you. Wow. His dad's still the king. What is it showing? It's shown by him making a covenant here. His actions show that I'm with you. I'm with you. Notice verse number 4. Oh, I read that one already. Amen. And so the loyalty here is demonstrated in love by action. This is the practice of loyalty. Now, did King Saul like this? Not everybody's going to like it when you become loyal to somebody. By the way, children, young people, y'all don't need to be loyal to nobody but your parents. You don't worry about your little friends at school. You don't be loyal to them. Not when it's going to get you in trouble. Amen. You make sure that you're loyal to your parents, amen, and to your pastor and to God, amen. So Jonathan is demonstrating in love by his action. But notice something else here. Go over to one chapter over, chapter 19. And notice loyalty is not just demonstrated in love by actions. By the way, and I say this honestly, you guys do a very good job in showing your love to me. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You show and demonstrate your love to me very well. And I am blessed because of that. And I am thrilled because of that. And that is infectious because others see that. And they want to do the same thing. And so I am so glad that I have a church where love is demonstrated towards me. Because it's a blessing that I don't take for granted. But only is demonstrated in love by actions. There's something else in chapter 19 and verse 1. Love is demonstrated in protection by actions. Not just love by action, but protection by actions. Notice this. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. Wait a minute. Now, didn't you just kill the giant in chapter 17? Didn't you just save Israel in chapter 17? Boy, what a difference one chapter makes. Now Saul is telling everybody to kill David. Why? Because he knows he's been anointed as the future king. By the way, did David go out of his way to kill Saul? No, he did everything to stay out of Saul's way. Notice this. Saul spake to Jonathan and his son, to all his servants, that they should kill David. Verse 2. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, let's stop right there. When you're dealing with loyalty, if you're going to be loyal to someone, you're going to warn them of harm that's going to be coming to them. He said, look, I want to protect you, David. My dad's going to try to kill you. I want to protect you. Hey, let me tell you something. If you know something about something that's going to be detrimental to God's ministry, you need to tell your pastor. That's protection. Jonathan said, I'm loyal to you. I love you. I want to protect you. This is detrimental to you. This is dangerous to you. This can hurt you. And I love you. And I don't want to see you hurt. Protect your pastor. Protect him against hurt. Protect him against potential harm. Well, I'd be a tattletale. No, you wouldn't. You'd be protecting your pastor. Amen. Hey, if I'm loyal to someone, I want what's best for them. Notice what he goes on. He says, now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself. He's warning him. He says, I'm trying to protect you until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. Verse 4. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul, his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. Notice verse 6. And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. What am I saying? Loyalty is demonstrated by protection, by actions. He said, look, David, my dad's going to try to kill you, and so let me help you out. You need to lay low until I go back and talk to my dad and protect you. And then if the coast is clear, then you come back. What am I saying? Protection. Hey, If we love our wives and our husbands and we're loyal to them, don't we try to protect them? All right. Then it doesn't stop when I come to the house of God. I still need to be protected. You say, preacher, you're the man of God. You need no protection. I'm not talking about that kind of protection. I don't need a bodyguard. Although if somebody comes after me, amen, I got somebody waiting for him, amen. But I'm saying things that you know are hurtful or detrimental, you need to let him know. That's what Jonathan did. Why? He was loyal. He loved him. Loyalty is demonstrated in love by actions. It's demonstrated in protection by actions, but also is demonstrated in cooperation by others. Come over to chapter 20. This is all Jonathan and his loyalty. And over in chapter number 20, notice verse number 3. And this is his protection again. And David swore, moreover, verse number 3, and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. He said, look, your dad's going to kill me. He said, and he knows it. He just don't want you to know it. Notice verse number 4. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. You know what he just did then? He demonstrated cooperation. He said, let's cooperate then. If you think this is what's going on, I'm trying to protect you. I want to cooperate with you because I love you. Let's work together. What do you want me to do? Let's help you out here. Cooperation. Come down to verse number 13. The Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father. What did he do? Cooperation. He said, look, I'm going to find out the truth of this matter because I'm trying to cooperate with you, David, because I love you and I'm trying to protect you. And I'm loyal to you because you're the future king. What am I saying? Loyalty in the house of God doesn't stop when I leave. Loyalty to the man of God or to the assistant pastor or to the leadership should not stop when I leave. Because I'm cooperating, I'm protecting, and I'm loving. Notice this, loyalty is also demonstrated in encouragement by my actions. Go over to chapter 23. Chapter 23. You say, man, David had a hard life. Yeah, he did. Demonstrated by love, protection by actions, cooperation, but also encouragement by actions. Notice chapter 23 and come down to verse number 16. David's on the run again. He's in the wilderness. And let's see. Let's pick it up in verse number 16. No, let's go in 15. All right, go back up to 14. Well, amen. Let's go to 13, might as well. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. How often did he seek him? Every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Notice this. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood. Wait a minute. Now, if Saul's seeking for you every day and he cannot find you, how come David can find you so easy? Jonathan. He loved him. He's trying to protect him. He's trying to cooperate with him. He's loyal to him. He said, look, I've got your best interest at hand. I'm for you. Guess what? He encouraged him. Notice this. We just read verse 13. What were we reading? 16? Finish 16, though. It says, he went to David into the wood. What did he do? And strengthened his hand in God. My daddy's chasing you. My dad is the king. I'm not disloyal to my daddy. I'm not disloyal to my king, but I am loyal to you because I love you. I'm trying to protect you. I want to cooperate with you. I want to encourage you because I know you're God's next anointed man when my father goes off the scene. Amen. Notice what he says in verse 18. Matter of fact, verse 17. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel. See, he says, I know you're going to be king. and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. He said, I'm so loyal to you that although it's going to change hands and come from the tribe of Benjamin out of King Saul's family and to the family of David, the son of Jesse, I'm going to be next to you because we just got it going on like that. We're loyal to each other. He says, my daddy knows that. And notice what he says down there in verse 18. And they too made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Well, we see the practice of loyalty is demonstrated by love, in love by actions, in protection by actions, in cooperation by actions, and encouragement by actions. But the practice of loyalty is one thing, but it comes with a price. Let's look at the price of loyalty. Chapter number 20. Let's go back there. The price of loyalty. It's going to cost you something. Loyalty can be demonstrated by being persecuted for your actions. When we're loyal, we may be misunderstood, mishandled, or mistreated by people because they can't understand your loyalty. People thought I was insane, Pastor White, because I was loyal to the man of God. I can't believe you loyal to that man. I'm not loyal to that man. I'm loyal to the man of God and God's anointed man. And they thought I was absolutely insane. They were like, oh, you just bamboozled. I ain't going to let no man tell me what to do. I will when it's the man of God, when it's the man of God. And you know what? The people that said that, they ain't even in church now. They're not serving God now. Their children gone to the devil now. Go figure. So much for them listening. Amen. The price of loyalty. Notice chapter number 20, and let's pick it up down here in verse number 30, because we can be misunderstood, mishandled, and mistreated when we are loyal to people. And notice this. David had said that he was going to go, and he was trying to prove that Saul was really trying to kill him. And so Jonathan let him go, and they said that he was going to his family. Notice down there it says in verse 30, then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. Now, why? I thought David was your enemy. Now his own son is his enemy. See what happens when you don't have it together, loyally speaking? He thinks now Jonathan is his enemy, and that's his own son. He's gone mad. All because of his loyalty. And he said unto him, notice this. This is actually putting him to shame. Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman. Do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? In other words, he's not saying kind things about his son. He's actually dogging him out pretty rough. Notice down in verse 31, for as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? Notice this. And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him. Now, how are he going to get on the throne if you're going to stab him to the wall? See what rage and anger will do to you? All because he's loyal to God's anointed man. He has never stopped being loyal to dad. He has never stopped being disloyal to the king. But he's loyal to the next anointed king. And when his time comes, he's going to serve with him. Hey, what am I saying? Sometimes you have to pay a price for your loyalty. People are not going to understand why you are doing what you're doing to be loyal to the man of God or his leadership or his authority. Amen. And sometimes you might have to stand alone. Jonathan did. I don't find a whole lot of pep squads with him. I don't see a whole lot of pom-pom cheering going on here. I see javelin. I see Saul. I see Jonathan. And everybody else is just kind of watching. What would you do? If he can go kill his own son, what are he going to do to you? He's insane. Hey, what am I saying here? Sometimes the price of loyalty is going to be steep. You may be misunderstood, mishandled, or mistreated. I'm sure Pastor White would agree that because some folks have been upset with me, they got upset with him by proxy. Why? Because he's loyal to me. And they're mad at him because he's loyal to me. And if they can get him on their side, they could be a little bit more successful. So I'm going to be mad at you. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to be mad at your wife, too. Because y'all a package deal. Matter of fact, I'm going to be mad at the preacher's wife, too. And anybody that hang around y'all, I'm going to be mad at them, too. Amen. They walk around. Now, they don't look like they're on the outside. On the outside, like this. But if you could just pull back and look at the heart, horns, pitchfork, tail, mean, mad, grumpy. Why? Because certain people are going to be loyal, and I don't like that. Hey, folks, but it's necessary if we're going to do a ministry for God. If we're going to do anything for God, the communication's got to be there, the coordination's got to be there, and the cooperation's got to be there, but the loyalty and the spirituality have got to come right after that, amen? And the spirituality's got to say, I love God, I love others, but I'm going to be loyal to a God and God's man and God's program and God's church and God's leadership, because we're trying to build a wall, we're doing a great work, we're building lives for the glory of God, and I want it to work. I'm going to do my part, I'm going to help do their part over here, but at the end of the day, I want to be loyal to God Almighty. Why? Because it's God who's going to give the rewards. It's God. It's God. Hey, by the way, we all work together. I was talking to Rodney Hamblin just a couple weeks ago, and I said, brother, I said, did you recognize and realize what God has done? I said, you witnessed at Walmart? I said, and Brother Reyes saw you down there. I said, and Brother Reyes came to church and found us online and got saved and saw you and thought, oh, hey, I know you. I said, and then he came and got saved. And now he's getting discipled. What are we doing? We're working together. We're communicating, coordinating, cooperating. We're being spiritual. We have a love for God, a love for others. Now we're being loyal to the house of God, the man of God, the program of God. Can you just imagine if Brother Rodney would have been at church talking bad about me? I'm the one that led him to Christ. What is he going to think now if I open up the Bible with him and try to lead him to Christ? And Brother Rodney's already talked about me at Walmart. Well, I don't know if I want to trust you, preacher. I know what Brother Rodney said about you. Our wall is crumbling now. But I'm glad he didn't do that. He had good things to say about this church. He had good things to say about Rodney. And he didn't even know Rodney came here. And when he saw Rodney, he's like, hey! And guess what? God put it all together. And he got saved, and his wife got saved. They're getting discipled. They got baptized. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do all things whichever I've commanded you. They're already trying to be a witness to their family and co-workers. Wow, that's what it's all about. But just imagine, if we weren't loyal to God, God's man, God's program, and God's leadership, people come in here skeptical already. Wilbur's, BBS, Patch. I don't know if I want to go in there. I heard about you guys. Hey, what do we say about our fellow brothers when we leave? To our friends, to our coworkers. We're trying to win them to Christ. We're not trying to run them away. Don't put your church down. Don't put your members down. Don't put your pastor down. Don't put your pastor's wife down. Don't put your deacons down. Don't put your assistant pastor down. Lift them up. Lift them up. Not to a point of self-glorification, but no, hey, we got good leadership. We got a great pastor. He's got great sermons, amen. We got a good assistant pastor. We got great deacons. We got great teachers, amen. Every time I talk to somebody that has age-appropriate teachers, kids, I brag on our teachers. If they're singles, I'll brag on Serge. If they're a single lady, I'll brag on Katie. If they're singles, I'll brag about the Wilkerson. If they got kids of Hamlin's age, I'll brag on the Hamlins. I'll brag on a Rose. I'll brag on Shirley. I'll say, man, if you bring your kids in, Shirley will love them up. Man, she'll hug them up and she'll train them and teach them the word of God and she loves them. So when they come, they're looking, where's that Shirley person at? I heard you give out free hugs. Why? I'm already bragging on them. It's not just here. Folks, we got to take it out there. Because that's who we're trying to win to come in here to help us build this wall. God has called us to communicate, to coordinate, to cooperate, spiritually love God, spiritually love each other, bring them in, but then be loyal to the plan of God, teaching people the word of God, being loyal to God's program. That's how it happens. That's how it works. That's what God blesses. I am so glad I told Brother Hamblin. I said, you know what, brother? I said, you know, you got the Reyeses in here. The Smiths came as a result of Walmart and your witness. I said, you got half your family in here. Mom going back to church. Bobby Brown's in here and gotten baptized. I said, brother, do you realize what God is doing through you? And he's like, well, you know, I just want to do more. You know how Rodney is, amen. There's more to do. And there is more, but God is blessing what he's already done. We're seeing great things as a result of faithfulness. What am I saying? Loyalty, folks. Loyalty. We need it in the ministry. You want it from God. God also expects it from you. You want it from your spouse. God also expects it from you. Your pastor, his wife, assistant pastor, his wife, the deacons, their wives, and the leadership of Shining Light Baptist Church deserves your loyalty. And they need you to lift their hands up in prayer. None of us are perfect. None of us are said that we do everything right. I'm still kind of funny like that as well. Amen. I like things a certain way. Y'all know that. Amen. Y'all pray for me in that area. I probably won't change, but y'all pray anyway. Amen. But we need you to lift our hands up. Why? Because we're a team. We're a team. We're working together. And we've got to be loyal to each other. And Katie said it best. Hey, not just the pastor. Let's be loyal to each other. I should be confident enough to leave church and know that everybody in here is going to say good things about me and not bad things. But you should be equally as confident to leave here and know that everybody's going to say good things about you and not bad things. Come on now. That's what love is. That's what love is. That's what love does. Hey, now if you're going to speak the truth, speak it in love. Well, pastor just got funny ways. Hey, he does. But, you know, there's a way you can say it. To be critical and caustic. And there's a way you can say it in being kind. To say, you know, that's our pastor. We love him. You know how he is. He wants everything turned a certain way. Amen. Everything's got its place. Amen. You know how that is, right, Aaron? I'm working with Aaron. I'm getting to know a little bit about him. We think a lot in a lot of ways. Amen. So y'all watch out when he starts doing stuff. Amen. Say, well, you think like the pastor. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? Folks, let's work at being loyal to God first and foremost. Loyal to our spouses. But then when we come in the house of God, don't take that loyalty off. Still be loyal to God, spouse, but I'm loyal to the pastor as well and his leadership in and outside the church. It goes the same. Good things that you want to say about your church. By the way, Easter's coming up. Nobody's going to come if you badmouth your church and your leadership. Who's going to come and hear me preach if you already talked about me? Our preacher said the same thing every Sunday. Get right with God. Get right with God. He's not like a broken record. Get right with God. Get right with God. Doesn't he have any other sermons? No, because nobody got right with God. No, I'm just picking. Amen. I'm picking. Amen. Loyalty, folks. That's the next block on the wall. And we'll deal with the next one next Sunday night. Oh, we won't deal with Pastor White's preaching next Sunday night. Amen. So we won't deal with the next one. See, Aaron's all of a sudden, he said, Pastor, do you ever preach around here? I said, I've been preaching all the time. Amen. You just happened to come at a time when I wasn't preaching. Amen. God knew how to get you in. Amen. Amen, folks. Let's make sure we work on our loyalty one to another, our spirituality as well. Make sure that our ministries are being conducted with spirituality and with loyalty, knowing that we've got a God in heaven to please, a world to save. Amen. And glorification down the road when we get our new bodies. Amen. And we're looking forward to that. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Amen. And just ponder about what God wants you to do in the matter of loyalty in your life. What is God asking you to do? And again, there's a practice of loyalty in love and in cooperation and in encouragement and in protection, but there's also a price for love. Folks may mistreat you, mishandle you, and misunderstand you because you are loyal to a man of God and his church and God's program. Amen. Just for a quick moment of silent prayer. Amen. Now, I don't want you to play. Just close your eyes, bow your head. And just in your own mind, your own heart, in the areas of loyalty, because, folks, this is what our